thank you, Mab, thank you all for giving me the opportunity. When I left Australia, we did joke about how I was coming over here to save Canada. And I hope I do.
Yeah, we do.
We were in the situation that you were in now with the way your children's services are provided about 16 years ago. So we've had quite a long time of developing a whole new face of childcare. Way back then, I said that we had one of the best childcare systems in the world. And I really think we did. We had government funding that was making sure that services were sustainable. We had subsidies to services to offset the cost of childcare for families. We have a very different industrial relations environment to you, but we had systems where you could address wages for workers. They were pretty terrible at that time, but nevertheless, we did have those systems. And we had a mechanism for the government to fund for new services to be developed around the country based on priorities of need, which related to low-income communities or other issues were taken into account. And we were really rolling out what we thought was a universal, high-quality, affordable children's services system around the country. Then in 1991, the government decided that it would open up the funding, which was a fee subsidy funding, to the private sector, the for-profit sector. And that was the time when they opened up the door to what we now have, which is, we call it corporate childcare. So today, we have 70% of all our childcare services provided by the commercial sector. We did have, back in 91, 81% of our, or 85% of our services were community-based. So it's completely reversed. We now have predominantly a privately owned commercial sector. 25% of our services across Australia are owned by one company. And that one company is a publicly listed shareholder company. So that company has as its prime responsibility to return profits to shareholders. Doesn't have a prime responsibility to deliver quality services for children. It's prime responsibility, and you only have to read stuff about what is the responsibility of publicly listed shareholder companies, and it is to make a return to your shareholders and to make it an increasingly bigger return. Can you hear down the back? Yes. So that's the situation we're in today, and we are extremely worried about that, and I will tell you the number of things that concern us in particular. First of all, when that happened, when the funding was opened up to the for-profit sector, our government took away the planning controls that had been in place for the non-profit sector, for the community-based sector. And what that meant was that business people came into the sector and they built new services or bought services out, but they built new services next door to existing ones a lot of the time. They created a very competitive environment, one we were not used to because we had our services, they'd been planned, and we had a very cooperative environment, I have to say. Suddenly they could open up anywhere they wanted. Well, of course they went to areas where they would make the most money, because that's what you do if you're running a business. Very competitive. They used predatory pricing, which means they undercut the fees of other services because they could afford to stay at a low level of fee for longer than the community-based or individual commercial services could. So we had a lot of competition and a lot of closures of services. We didn't get, which is what the government had expected, we didn't get services opening up in areas where there were no services or where there was high demand. We didn't get that. We just got lots and lots of services. As it happened, it was in the very northern part of Australia, which is lovely and warm and pleasant place for retirees who put some of their pension when they retired into companies that would develop childcare. So we had a terrible mismatch of, in the market sense, supply and demand. So the government's objective around that was not met. Other objectives the government had then were also lost. The government had objectives for making sure that priorities were met in relation to parents that were working, that childcare should first and foremost be for parents who were working. Because these new operators opened up in areas where there was, in fact, oversupply for a while, they ignored those guidelines, and we ended up shifting away from that priority, and really anybody was having access, and anybody using a service could be eligible for the subsidy going to them. So we've had millions of dollars going into a really chaotic system. We still have no planning controls, so they can still open up services anywhere they want. And of course, if the government wants them to go into an area that is more complex, maybe a rural, remote area, maybe work with children with special needs or complex needs, they ask for more subsidies anyway. So the government doesn't get any of that delivery in a cheaper way. It actually still costs them. One of the other concerns that we have is around the driving down of quality in the sector as a whole. Given that the commercial sector is now the major provider, 70% of the sector, and because the major driver for businesses, particularly the shareholder ones, is to return a profit, you really have to do a number of things. You either have to reduce the cost of delivery of the service, you have to increase the fees so you get more money, or you have to get bigger and bigger all the time so that the value of your business is bigger. We've actually had all of that happen. The one company that's now 25% has, you know, takes over other large companies, buys them out. So we get, as they call it in that market economy world, consolidation of the market. They see all the non-profit services as very unconsolidated because we still have individual parent committees or universities or churches that operate services. They think that's really messy. They like it all consolidated. So there's a lot of takeover kind of mentality. When they take over services in a community, they often close down the small local ones because they're not profitable enough and have won. So we've gone from having a pattern of smallish services, maybe 35, 40, 45 children, to a form, a preferred form of about 100 children. So they, and they're not as locally accessible as they used to be. We have some communities where 75% of all their services is with that one company now. So there's no choice for parents locally, really. We've lost that choice. Driving down the quality, if you're going to reduce the cost of the service, you don't have a lot of leeway to do that. In the non-profit sector in Australia, and I think it's as much the same in Canada, the cost of staffing in our services is around about 80% of your overall costs. In the shareholder companies, the cost of staff is 50% or less.
Welcome to the new world.
And then you have to say, well, how do you do that? You know, how? They also claim to be extremely efficient on all the office type stuff. You know, they do their wages centrally. So they say that all of those other things they've made cheaper. So how do you reduce the cost of staff? Pretty obvious how you do that. You basically reduce the cost of staff.
Yeah.
So one of the concerns we have is that not only are these very large companies the main providers, they can train their own staff within their own business. They can have trainees who are staff. In Australia, because we didn't prepare our education and training system for this new transition well enough, we don't have enough qualified and experienced childcare workers available to work in the expanding industry. Also, our wages and conditions have been very poor. So people haven't wanted to stay working in childcare. We've had trouble keeping staff in childcare for more than a couple of years because they can go and work in a call centre, a pub, for more money and less responsibility. So our wages system wasn't strong enough, and some of these companies can train their own staff, and in fact now, to meet the licensing requirements that we do have about qualified staff, if you can't get staff because they're not available, you can deem someone to be qualified so you can meet the licensing requirements. So of course it's cheaper to employ somebody who doesn't really have the qualification. In the community-based sector, we've always had concerns about the licensing requirements of the ratios. In my state, which is Victoria, we can have one adult to five children in the babies, the 0 to 2s. We've thought that that's really not good enough and you need two. So the community-based sector has tended to have more staff to try and, you know, basically deliver high quality service. And I can only assume that in the sector where the staffing is only 55% of your budget, that you don't do that. So that's the situation we're at. They have a much cheaper staffing component than we do, and as someone who knows and a lot about the research around the world, we all know the major contributor to quality in children's early years and their development is staffing, both the numbers, the quality of the staffing, their experience and qualifications. That's a real risk. I did say before choice is being lost, and that's a really serious problem for us, that families at the local level are losing the choice. When you lose choice, and this is the whole purpose of competition in the marketplace, where you're supposed to have choice so that it has some control on fees. When you lose choice, you have no control on fees. The interesting thing about our corporate sector is that their fees are practically the same as the community-based sector. The community-based sector doesn't have to make a profit. Apparently they can deliver the service for a whole lot less than we can, but their fees, basically they benchmark them against us. So they don't make any savings for all these efficiencies for the parent users. They don't. Fees are much, they are basically the same. Even when we had an increase in the salaries in a few states, which we did have recently because of the way our industrial relations environment worked, really good increase in wages will flow into our services in eventually the whole of Australia over the next few years. One of those corporate chains increased the fees in a state where the wages hadn't gone up, saying that it was because wages were going up. Well, they hadn't gone up in that state. So we haven't achieved the outcomes of ensuring that services are available everywhere. We haven't achieved an outcome of services being more affordable. We haven't achieved an outcome of families having greater choice. Now, the most dangerous thing for Australia is that we now depend on private operators to keep operating their services, because now they own 70% of our system. If they stop operating, and they could, because for many of them the land they're on is worth much more than the childcare business, so they could put high-rise apartments on there or something, or the market could collapse, I mean anything like that is possible, they could decide that they could make a better return doing something else. If they sell off our childcare services, we'll be left with 20% of the market. And that is a huge worry. What would be likely, you would anticipate, and you know, we've now, because we've had all of this time of experiencing this new environment, I expect what would happen is that our government would have to buy the services, would have to increase the subsidies to make them stay in the business. I mean, that's not exactly going to be cheaper for our government long term. So none of the outcomes which I presume government expected to get when they opened up the funding to particularly the large chains came in, none of that was expected, and we're now in a situation where we have a childcare services system that isn't sustainable, one where in many cases you'd really wonder about the quality of care that's being delivered. We do have a quality assurance and improvement system that's a national one, but there are no spot checks. You get rung up and told that someone's going to come and have a look at you in relation to those quality criteria 3 weeks from now, so it's pretty easy to get yourself right. We have staff shortages, we don't have the qualified staff, we don't really have choice for families, and those big companies plan to grow. They plan to grow in Australia and they plan to grow here.
Yes.
So that's my message to Canada. So good luck.